Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
We would like to start this episode off with a bit of gratitude.
Yeah, it's been a pretty incredible week here for us.
At Gaze at the National Parks. We want to give a huge shout out to parkchasers.com.
Yes.
Parkchasers.com was started by Amy and Greg Sipple. I hope I'm saying that last name correctly. They also have an Instagram account at Park Chasers, and they published an article about the top national parks podcast to listen to in 2019. And we were so honored to be on that list.
Yes. I think we probably jumped up and down giddily separately.
Oh my
we
God,
weren't together
so many
when
times.
We got the news.
No, we weren't.
But it was like pretty wild news to get on a Thursday. I think it was Thursday.
Yes. Our mission here at Gaze at the National Parks is to connect listeners to the national parks.
Yep.
If somebody goes to a national park because they heard us talk about them, I feel like we have achieved our mission.
I believe so.
And I think that is true for all of the podcasts that are mentioned in this article.
Yes.
And we are honored to be among so many other incredible podcasts, incredible storytellers, who include
America's National Parks, the podcast, Podcast with Park Rangers,
which was created by Virtual Camper, and that's Camper with a K.
Mm-hmm. Switchbacks,
which is an incredible podcast about these two people left their jobs and with their family for a whole year, and they went to every national park within a year.
Wild Ideas Worth Living, which is not necessarily an exclusively national park podcast, but it does talk about a lot of
outdoor adventuring,
things
yes.
like that. And lastly, Everybody's National Parks, which yes. is a new addition to the podcast scene, just like we are in this past year.
So a big giant thank you to parkchasers.com for one, publishing that list, because I have not found another list about national parks podcasts specifically. And I'm really, really grateful to all of you that you write so many articles and that your website, which is beautiful and so informed, filled with glorious photos, articles, and adventures that the two of you have gone on, that you have been so transparent about sharing all of it.
Yeah, and thank you for just listening. It's always a pleasure to get some feedback, and it's amazing to hear the feedback we've gotten so far and taking the time to tune into us.
Looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks. At the national parks. At the national parks. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
I want to start this episode off by talking about Fear.
The movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Right.
And Reese Witherspoon. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And the guy from CSI, whose name I can never remember.
I don't watch that show. Yeah. I don't know her.
No, I don't know her.
But yes, let's talk about fear. Zion National Park, which we are talking about currently on our Instagram and on this podcast, is one of the most beautiful, breathtaking, spectacular places I have ever seen in my entire life.
I think stunning is the word that comes stunning to mind for me.
If we were going to give the crown to somebody,
right.
I think Zion might take the crown.
I think she's at the top of my list.
I think she's at the top. With her runner-up is pretty... I mean, also, I'm sure spectacular, but she's got a marginal lead.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah. However, this beautiful, spectacular place also brought up a lot of personal fear for myself, which is something we're going to get into mm-hmm. today. Not only did I discover my own fear, especially regarding climbing,
mm-hmm.
I also had a moment of pure terror.
You did.
That happened.
I shared in that moment
while
with you.
Hiking Angel's Landing. Angel's Landing. Why is this hike in Zion called Angel's Landing?
There is, I think one of the original discoverers of the park looked when they were able to get to that point into the park, looked at that height and that structure of the rock face and said that only an angel could land
on that because it was so high in the
air.
And
I believe that it wasn't climbed for quite some time. Like, I feel like it was they felt that it was an unclimbable trail.
They thought that it was not achievable by humans.
Not achievable by humans.
Without helicopter
or
something.
Angels.
Or angels yeah. just lifting you up into mm-hmm. the air and placing mm-hmm. you there. In our preparation for going to Zion National Park and looking up the trails to do, mm-hmm. Angel's Landing is like always the first one that pops up.
Right.
It is one of the most popular in the park,
mm-hmm.
probably next to the Narrows,
yeah,
which is the one most people who go to Zion often go to do the Narrows.
Right.
The Narrows were closed when we were there.
I believe the river was too high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we couldn't
and
do
it
that.
Was also like April, so the water would have been really, really
exactly.
cold.
Exactly. Because yeah. in climbing the Narrows, you have to trek through water. You
yeah.
have to like rent boots that go all the way up to your shoulders to like walk through.
Well, I mean, unless it's like warmer water season and
right,
you have
exactly.
like some water shoes on that like are have tracks.
Precisely.
Treads.
Or yeah. you'll just freeze.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Or lose your feet.
Or lose your feet.
Yeah.
Angel's Landing, in all of my research that I had done, looked like a tough but spectacular hike
mm-hmm.
that would result in one of the most incredible views that we have in America, I would venture to say in the world.
Yeah, it is definitely like a pinnacle view for me when it comes to anything that we've hiked. There's very few things that compare. I think being at the top of Machu Picchu and looking down onto the ruins, that is like one of the few comparable things that I have like out there in the natural world to being able to see what we saw at the top of Angel's Landing.
Yeah, there is very, very little I would compare this to mm-hmm. because it is just the most it was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen mm-hmm. with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I would say worth the climb.
Oh, 100%.
After our first day in Zion, we had climbed the Hidden Canyon Trail.
And done like something like 11 or 12 miles, I think, that
yeah.
first day.
And the Hidden Canyon Trail, as we mentioned, had some switchbacks. It also had like some chains on some
right.
walls.
Some
it was uphill.
Yep.
It was flat at times. It was all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a really, really great primer
right.
trail to doing Angel's Landing.
Well, if you remember that first day, we didn't go to the visitor center that first day. We went to that outdoor store where you got your bladder and
it,
we asked the guys at the desk, hey, like, what do you recommend?
We're going to do Angel's Landing
yep,
tomorrow.
We're going to do Angel's Landing tomorrow. Like, do you have a good suggestion for us that would maybe help us out? And they were like, oh, Hidden Canyon would be great for you guys to do. It wasn't really until after our hiking that day when we were back in Zion Village and were, you know, looking to get food that I think we actually made a stop in the visitor center to
we did
to talk to the rangers there.
And now here is an important moment in this journey to Angel's Landing. As we were coming back on the tram, there were people getting on from the tram stop that you need to get off at for Angel's
mm-hmm.
Landing. And
because Hidden Canyon is further out.
It's further out.
Mm-hmm.
So they were getting on. They had, and we asked them, you know, oh, did you just do Angel's Landing? How was it? And they were like, it was a little crowded. I would say definitely do it earlier in the day.
Right.
but it really is amazing. Mm-hmm. So this all made me very, very excited to get out there in the morning. Mm-hmm. I knew we would be going very, very early, but getting out there and doing this trail to see the spectacular view that everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
We make it to the visitor center, and I have to say, Zion National Park, probably more than many of the national parks, is just like nailing it with the merchandise. Because they have so many different like stores and like brands with like incredible t-shirts. So,
well, I think that, you know, if we want to, I think we were kind of impressed with the fact that the village was literally right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the only comparable thing for me as far as parks go would be Yosemite with Yosemite Village and, right. you know, the shops and things that are there, and Half Dome Village, like that's like a very like kind of community centered space. But this is like a kind of a thriving town. Like people
thriving
live
town.
People live like
people
outside
live
the
right
gates
there.
Of Zion, like right there. It's pretty wild.
There's not like that buffer of land you have to drive over to get to Zion. It's like you arrive in this beautiful town.
Springdale.
Mm-hmm. And Zion is literally like a stone's throw from where you are sitting in a brewery.
Right.
I had found this beautiful Angel's Landing t-shirt at the visitor center.
It was at a different, own retail kind
it
of
was
space.
Its own retail space, but I found it and I was like, I'm going to get that t-shirt. But I can't get it until after I climb Angel's Landing because getting it before to me felt like unlucky or jinxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, no, I'll get it after the fact.
Right. I remember you hemmed and hawed about that for a while.
Did.
And I was like, just get the t-shirt.
And you were like, I'm not getting a t-shirt.
Right.
And I was like, why not? They're gorgeous. They're beautiful.
Because I refuse to spend $20 on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Right.
I know it supports artists and I'm an artist and I should be a little bit more forthcoming there with t-shirt monies, but.
Hey, do you? I get
it. Yeah, you do, me.
We get it. So I don't get the t-shirt and we leave this place. And then that was when we like checked into our Airbnb in Hurricane.
Right, because we originally we got into Zion itself probably around 2 o'clock, I think,
yeah,
one or two,
something like that.
Because we were coming from Vegas, and so we didn't stop at the Airbnb in the morning.
We
so
couldn't
after
check
hiking,
in until the evening.
Yeah,
anyway.
After hiking, we had dinner at Zion Brewery, which was great.
Super lovely.
And then we were like, okay, we need to like really plan since we're going to get up early, and I think we went to like a Rite Aid. Like as we were driving back
we
to Hurricane,
definitely did.
And we like stacked up on nuts and Clif Bars
and
like
and
apples
and
stuff. We could anything we could kind of get that we knew we were going to need.
We get to the Airbnb and we get settled in, and then we pack our bags and we're like, "All right, we're going to get up very, very early."
Because it's about a half hour drive from Hurricane.
It was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And the trams started at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you could not get there any sooner.
Well, you could if you hiked out on the road. You could have hiked the road.
To which I told you, we're not doing that. We will take the tram like normal people.
Right.
Because it would be like an additional like...
Oh, yeah. Few miles of hiking.
5 miles?
I don't know.
Maybe,
we were,
of hiking? Yeah. Like, and I was like, we're already doing something that's super hard.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do that.
Right.
We are going to get in at... a little before 7, we'll wait for the tram and we'll get on the first one and we'll go right to Angel's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what we did. And with that, let's take a break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. All right, Mike, one has to go. This Great. Is a little masochistic of me because okay. I do believe people should eat three meals a day
okay.
or more, however you want to do this. But one has to go.
Okay.
McDonald's breakfast.
Okay.
Trail mix all throughout the hiking day uh-huh. and snacks or a restaurant dinner.
Oh. Oh.
Because this is our typical eating schedule on a hiking
you mean
day.
Sweet cherries.
Sweet tomatoes.
Why do I always say sweet cherries? Oh, no. Well, definitely not restaurant dinner because that is like you are in calorie deficit and you need it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to say probably McDonald's breakfast because
I think that's my answer
you have
too.
To just snack your way through the day.
I would just eat all the fruit and all the trail mix and all the nuts right. all day, including right. in the morning
right.
and get rid of that McDonald's
right.
stop.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I love it too.
It's like mother's milk.
I love
it
too.
Nurtures me.
I think I have to now be a little careful about how much bread I eat from McDonald's.
Yeah.
So things to be aware of in the future.
I know. Okay. So I don't think we've tackled this before. One has to go. Whitney, Celine, Brittany.
Oh, this is like asking me to commit gay homicide. Okay. This is what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. I know who your answer is.
This would get rid of this person's canon,
mm-hmm.
right? Their canon of music.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney always stays
mm-hmm.
and Whitney always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Period.
The end.
Now, when given the choice between Celine and Brittany, my hands are like covering my face right now out of anxiety over answering this question. I would have to get rid of Brittany.
Oh my God, that was a surprise. I honestly thought Celine was your answer. Wow.
Sorry. And this is because like while Brittany has given me all of the dance tracks mm-hmm. and gives me all of the life all the time,
mm-hmm.
like Celine gives me the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I'm having a down day, it's like I can literally go to her and her voice will just like mm-hmm. skrelt my way out
Ooh,
of it.
Skrelt, what a word.
Oh, yeah. Scream belt.
That's like her. Visceral.
But I mean, you know, it's all coming back to me now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my life would be without that song. The number one Celine song for me of mm-hmm. all time is Where Does My Heart Beat Now?
Mm.
I'm getting tears in my eyes thinking about that song. That was her first single ever. And I just, it was just mm-hmm. it was out of this world. So we are standing at the trailhead of Angel's Landing.
Right.
The only thing that I knew about this trail prior to doing it was hiker from the day before had said, you're going to get to what feels like the end, but you're not at the end yet.
Right, right.
So I remembered that.
Yeah. I remembered thinking, this is a 4-hour trail, at least. I was like, I need to use the restroom. Like, there has to be. Like, that needs to be a component of it. And I would suggest that anybody that goes on the trail, because they drop you off at the trailhead, like, utilize that restroom. Because there's none.
Because it's a plumbing restroom.
It is a plumbing restroom. Right.
Right there.
There is. And so sometimes we just give the old college try and, you know, miracles, they happen.
Yeah. We definitely did do that.
Right. We did.
At the top of the trail.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking like, okay, we're about to do this.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, this is like the second fairly significant hike I have done in my life
right.
at this moment.
Right.
And I was like, all right, this is my life right now. This is what is happening.
Right.
So we set off.
Right. And across the road.
And we cross the road. You got to cross the river, the stream that's mm-hmm. running right there. And then you get to this path that for the first section of it is fairly flat.
Yeah, and like, you're winding along
for almost a mile. Yeah, it's like flat.
Yeah, you're winding along like you kind of hug up to the canyon wall, basically. Eventually, it leads you up and it hugs you to the canyon wall.
Exactly.
And then you start to see a very slight incline.
Then suddenly the switchbacks get steep.
But they're also long. Like, they were long switchbacks.
They are long switchbacks that go along canyon walls and they wrap around things and then they come back.
And you're kind of like, there's a little bit of like an overhang over you too. Yes. Like from where the path has been carved into the wall.
Exactly.
Somewhat. It's almost like a little bit of like an awning of stone above you is what I'll say.
And this was, this was a fairly orange
trail. Red rock.
Yep. Like, yeah. So on those switchbacks, you're pretty exposed. Like, you're out, like, there's not like trees covering you. The air is around you as you make your way up.
Wide path.
And they are wide paths compared to like the switchbacks of Yosemite Falls. Those make me want to die.
Right.
And just never...
Crawl
into a ball and never move again.
Right.
Become
a stone on the
path. Were not like that.
No.
These switchbacks were...
They almost seemed like they were very well... They were, first of all, they were very well maintained. They didn't seem like they were well maintained.
They were very well maintained.
Incredibly well.
I just remember the general feeling I had on these switchbacks at this time was, these are tough. I am definitely... I found us... Well, me... I was like, nope, I'm going to take a break at the end of the switchback, get some water, get some breath, and then keep going.
Yeah.
I did not find those to be generally unpleasant.
No.
Until we got to almost the end of them. And then I was like, oh my God, there are still more. Because what I remember about those switchbacks was that because things were so exposed, it was like, oh, I think we're only going up to the, oh no, there's a whole lot more.
No.
Oh, and now there's a whole lot more. So there was no way to really gauge like when you were done with that area of switchbacks.
No.
We were looking at the map.
Right.
And
maps are
like
deceiving.
When you get to that area of switchbacks, it's just like back and forth and back and forth on the map.
And we thought we had done that, which we hadn't.
No, we'd only done a portion of that.
And not even a portion of... We had done switchbacks way ahead of that.
Maps aren't to scale.
Right.
Maps are not to scale.
Right.
And therefore, 3 inches can be a mile on a map. And then sometimes like half an inch can be a mile on a map.
Right.
It's just how they have to do it in order to fit it all on a page.
Size matters, guys.
So,
but the one thing I do remember about heading up that first part of the trail on those switchbacks is that you just kept getting these incredible views of the valley, which you'd get a much more striking view from the top of eventually, which we did get. But like, you were elevated, so you were seeing the canyon walls at different levels, and you were really getting to see... Because it was so early, too, you were seeing how the light was changing on the walls.
Exactly.
So it was
you, Nadine Charlson, who told us to take pictures in the morning.
It was an incredible story that was being told via the light across the canyon walls. And it was
slowly, angles are being revealed
and
all over the place.
It was a beautiful blue sky. Like, the day was a perfect day to do this hike. I mean,
it was a Sunday. We were doing it on a Sunday. And was it Easter Sunday? It was Easter Sunday.
Okay.
We were climbing Mount Zion on Easter Sunday to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the hike was fairly tiring.
Right.
But so worth every every time you turn to your right or your left. It's like, well, there's this magnificent beauty.
Right. And eventually we get to this point where it's like, it's a bank. Basically, you bank to the left. And then you're in, like, you're in a canyon
inside of a canyon.
In a canyon within a canyon.
Where you, right before you turn left, is like a beautiful spot for photos.
Oh, yeah.
We took photos there.
We took photos for other people.
Yep.
Yeah. And they took photos for us, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what was nice about turning left, going into the canyon there, is because for, 1 or 2 miles, I'd say, it was fairly long. It was flat.
But it was also cooler.
And it was cooler.
Because it was in the shade.
And it was flat. And it was like, here is a nice little break that you get because you just did all those switchbacks.
I think one thing to...
Little did we know.
Yeah, little did we know. I think one thing to remember, too, is that we got out of the car that morning and it was pretty cold. Like, I remember we had a discussion about, well, how are we going to layer for this, knowing the day was going to get warmer.
This is also the first time we're layering things like this.
Also, it's hotter in the canyon than at the rim.
Right.
So we were trying to like really be anticipatory about that. I think I had like hiking shorts on and a flannel with a long sleeve under that and a t-shirt. And I believe you were in those green hiking pants.
I might have been.
Yeah.
I think I was in those.
Because you were like, oh, I can adjust these how I see fit.
I can adjust these. Yeah. That was my first time trying them out.
And you had like a t-shirt and a windbreaker on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like hiking up the switchbacks was, even though it was cool and it was the morning, we were generating heat.
Yeah. You're so totally generating heat.
We're in this like...
Even on the coldest days where I am convinced I won't generate heat, it takes about half an hour of hiking.
Oh, yeah.
Or even less to just be like, no, all these layers are coming
off. I'm a radiator.
I'm a radiator. Right. So,
So then we're in this like very cool section of shadow.
It was so nice. It just felt so good. And like, now everybody who was tired from like the doing all the switchbacks, it's like we're getting our second wind and like everybody's spirits are lifted up again. Thank you, Jerusalem.
Right. And here's the other thing. We are there very early. Like Dusty said, we were on the tram at 7. We probably were at the trailhead and starting to hike around 7:30 or so by the time we used the restroom and everything.
And there were quite a few people
around
us. But
it wasn't crowded.
It wasn't crowded, certainly. I wouldn't describe it as crowded.
There were points where we were just by ourselves, like, and there were people way ahead or way behind us.
Right.
No one was really like up with us. So it was very peaceful, like, to be able to experience this, you know, just the two of us, like, especially wandering through that canyon. It was like, wow, this is really beautiful in a way. Like, it's a different sort of beautiful from the valley that we were able to gape at the whole way up the switchbacks. But eventually that beauty of that cool, shadowy, long, flat path
came to an abrupt end.
And we found our way on the map with that zigzaggy
and
switchback
now,
city.
Here are these tiny little zigzags on the map. What are these? Are these just tiny little switchbacks? Because we had, when we were on Hidden Canyon, we had seen people across the canyon from us climbing Angel's Landing.
Right.
And so I was like, is this the section where this is? And then you get to the end of this flat section inside the canyon, and you essentially are looking, and to your right are these steep, tiny 8-foot switchbacks that go up. And up and up and up. And there
it's, yeah, it is the true meaning of the word switchback.
Steep.
Yeah.
There is a specific number, right?
Wasn't there? We were counting, or were we just counting them?
We were counting them, and I don't remember the number, but it was enough.
Yeah.
It was enough to like go like, I'm going to do 3 of them, and then I'm going to breathe. And then I'm going to do 3 more, and then I'm going to take a break. And I mean, that is what we did for like a half hour that it took us to get to the top of those. Because right now, in my mind, it doesn't feel like that took a long time.
I think it did.
But it took a while to get to the top of those tiny switchbacks. Then, when you get to the top, this is the part where you feel like, oh my God, I'm done.
Right.
You've made it to what
is called Scouts Lookout.
And this is, a lot of people were hanging out there. And by a lot, I mean, it wasn't like a crowd. It wasn't a beach.
Not right when we got there, though.
Not right when we got there. Little did we know. But this is the area called Scouts Lookout. Now, on the map, they have this other jut out from Scouts Lookout. That doesn't look very long.
Mm-mm.
But that is to get to the top of...
Angel's Landing.
And apparently, we found out, a lot of people will hike up to Scouts Lookout and then just turn around. And we were like, no, we're not going to turn around. Like, we came to get to the top of this, so let's get to the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought us to the section of the hike that they call the chains. And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Today in Drag Queen Corner, we're actually bringing to life a house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is house, H-A-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
Houses come from the ball culture of New York City back in the 1980s. One would be the mother of a house, and then she would have her daughters.
Right.
Drag queen culture also uses these terms. For instance, the drag queen Alexis Mateo, who has appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race, she has drag daughters, meaning like other young drag queens that she has helped to blossom, develop, and grow. And one of her drag daughters, who also later appeared on a later season of Drag Race, is Vanessa Vanjie Mateo, which mm-hmm. is where we get Miss Vanjie from. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
but today in Drag Queen Corner, we are talking about a different house. The house of
Vital.
The house of Vital. And mm-hmm. the mother of this house is
Gloria Vital. Gloria Vital.
Gloria Vital. Mm-hmm. Who is Gloria Vital, Mike?
Gloria Vital is, I feel, she is a larger than life, like almost of a fable of a figure. She is just,
yes.
She's also the type of person that enters into a room and everything stops because
oh, I feel like she has like a hallelujah chorus mm-hmm. that follows her
oh, yeah.
around.
She's a gospel singer for sure.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Gloria Vital.
And she wears a lot of like gold.
Thank you. You took the words
oh,
right from
my
mouth.
Oh my God. She's like radiating literally beams of
right.
sunlight and heaven.
Yes.
And clouds. She probably has a sort of like soft white cloud getup too mm-hmm. that she has.
A soft white cloud getup.
Right.
Just go into my closet and get my soft white cloud getup.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Or I'm doing my like gold shimmery heavenly body
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Right. And she loves life and she loves everything about life and its sumptuousness. She is just that aunt that you just want to be around when you're at a family gathering because she's like super fun and she just like exudes everything that's beautiful. Joy, love, peace, happiness.
All of it.
It's
and,
all coming from her.
And the song that she would lip sync to mm-hmm. would be
Proud Mary.
Oh, totally. Because then that drag queen is the Proud Mary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I just like big band, all the brass. Like,
all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gloria Vital has two daughters.
Two.
Who was her first
beautiful
daughter?
Beautiful daughters. Splendora Vital,
and mm-hmm. then her, and then Splendora's twin sister,
right.
Centaura Vital,
right?
And they are undoubtedly the Kelly and Michelle to Gloria's fiance,
right? That
at
seems
all times.
Right. That seems right.
Oh, like, yeah. totally. Because, mm-hmm. and I do feel like her that Gloria like travels around with like these two daughters as mm-hmm. her accessories.
And do they have songs or are they her backup singers for Proud
I
Mary?
I think what she... They're definitely her backup singers.
Okay.
Gloria might also be a live singer. She might just
right.
do all of her stuff live
right, right,
anyway.
Right.
But I feel like in the vein of like singers who let their backup singers like step forward and have a moment,
mm-hmm.
that's all Gloria does.
Mm.
Is she lets her daughters like come in and sing a verse of like something for
right.
like a second and then it's back to her.
Great.
Because, yeah, I do feel like Gloria is always the, I would say the center of attention, but I feel like Centaura's job, right?
Yeah.
So, but it is a family that exudes just like all of the radiance, all of the brightness, mm-hmm. all of the gold.
The richness of life.
All of the richness of life. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the House of Vital. We have to start making our way up the chains.
Right.
This was my understanding of the chains. There are signs all over Angel's Landing that say there are sections of this hike that have 1,000-foot drop-offs on both sides.
Right.
You need to be prepared for that, mentally,
right.
at least.
One thing that we were warned about ahead of time is that, unlike some other hikes where you have a wider path, or unlike the hike that we started on when we started Angel's Landing, when it was a very wide path, when you get to the section past Scout's Lookout, the path is very narrow. And when you're driving on a road, you usually have two directions in which you can go in. And unfortunately, when you head out from Scout's Lookout to Angel's Landing, there is only a one-way path. It's not like there's two ways for you to go, one to go out and one to come back.
No.
It's just one singular stream out to the lookout point for Angel's Landing.
Now, to describe what it is like, the physical shape of what it is like climbing the chains, you have around 4 to 5 feet sometimes of just like the section of rock that you are walking on.
Mm-hmm.
As in like two sides of two walls have peaked and they have met at the top. You are walking across the top of this meeting point mm-hmm. of these two walls.
Mm-hmm.
At the top here are chains that you hold on to so you do not fall.
And sometimes you're actually, if I remember correctly, you are at the beginning of that, on the side of that wall. You start on
sure.
the side of a very slick kind of like, the wall has been, it's just slick from all the travel across it. Like the rock is very smooth and the chains are in the walls. You're almost like on your hands and your feet, and then the chains are to your left that you grab onto before you then traverse up that kind of fin, we'll call it.
This is the moment where you and I diverge in our own mm-hmm. personal experience.
Yes.
We start heading up these chains.
Mm-hmm.
What change happens in you?
Nothing. I honestly, despite the height, despite everything that was going on, I was having the time of my life at the top. I was like, this is so much fun. I mean, we had done Hidden Canyon the day before, so there were so many like kind of adult jungle gymmy, like we had to climb over all these things. There were still some change that we were doing, but there was a lot of fun and levity to it. But once we were in Hidden Canyon, you're contained. There's no drop off. And I think I just carried that mentally with me into today, or into the day that we hiked Angel's Landing, because I was just like, this is great. Everything's easy. I like looked back at you a few times and it was a very different picture.
I was having a very different experience.
You were.
So I am coming off of a real high of having like, I'm hiking and it's beautiful. And like this section, like these switchbacks were hard, but we made it and I feel so accomplished. And now we head off onto these chains and all of this feeling completely disappears and is entirely replaced with, oh my God, I can't believe I've paid to do this.
Right.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I am still doing this. We are still moving forward. Mike has convinced me to do this so that he could make fun of me.
Right. Which is my aim for most things.
Totally.
In life.
Mm-hmm. I am
making fun of
an idiot to have decided to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I, at the time, right before, I was getting a phone call from a friend who had hiked Angel's Landing, and I was like, I'm actually up here right now. And she was like, oh, like you're doing the chains? And I was like, yeah. And she goes,
bye.
Oh, okay, bye. And she hung up, and I thought that was so weird and cryptic. We're making our way up and I discover a few things about myself on this hike.
Mm.
One.
And I discovered a few things about Dusty on this hike.
I am very much afraid of heights. And this is a fear that I have only experienced one other time, being at the very top of a very, very tall building.
Mm-hmm.
This was not something I'd ever really experienced again. I don't have an issue in planes. I don't have an issue being inside of a building and being high up, but being
exposed
open air that high up, apparently I have a real problem with that. So that was happening. This was also happening, which was when I get frustrated or mad, I just turn into a total bitch.
Mm.
And that happened real fast on this trail. So we're making our way up, and under my breath, I'm like, I can't believe this. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with everyone here? I can't stand this. I want to get back down, on and on and on.
It was literally two different stories happening, because I'm just like sunshine and happiness, and it's like a rain cloud following behind me.
Now, this moment is very indicative of exactly what we were both experiencing. There was this one section that required like crawling on hands and feet, holding onto chains. And then Mike, you had done it already. And then I finish it up and I hoist myself up and we're standing on this very small area of flat, like ledge essentially before we grab onto these other chains. And you gently place your hand on my shoulder and you were like, hey, you're doing great. And what did I say?
Don't fucking touch me, was basically the response. And I was like, oh, somebody has struck a nerve.
Oh, and I did. And I was like, well, honestly, in that moment, I was like, oh my God, if you touch my shoulder, I could be pushed off of this ledge.
Exactly.
Like, and that is what I was thinking.
And I honestly, I think I took it in stride, but I like definitely took that off as like a mental note for myself. Like, don't touch Dusty ever. And I haven't touched him till this day.
No,
it's weird.
Right.
No, but I definitely was like, okay, clearly he and I are having a very different experience, because Hidden Canyon, we were both fine. We talked all the way through. And I think at this point when we were on the chains, it was such hyper focus from the both of us, but in a different mental capacity.
Your hyper focus was manifesting in like silence and strategery, and mine was
strategery.
Mine was manifesting in like complaint and frustration.
Right.
Now, I am not a person that complains. I am not like, I do not walk through my life complaining about every little thing.
Right.
And I was kind of upset with myself. I felt very privileged to, we are both very privileged to have been able to do this journey. And so having these feelings and thoughts made me feel a little disgusting that it was like, oh, you're privileged enough to come here and then you're going to complain about it. Like there was that too.
And by the way, at this point too, there are other people obviously that have reached the peak before us, reached the top of Angel's Landing. So we're getting some slow, maybe one or two people that are coming back as we are heading out.
And
it's not that big a deal. And really like the right of way is the person that's coming back, you move to the side and you let them pass you.
Yes.
And then after they've passed, you keep going. Again, let's just remember this and file this away for later on our journey back.
Right. So we are climbing up on these chains and it was only a half a mile distance, but it felt like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally make it up to the very, very top. Instead of rejoicing, I found a rock and I grabbed onto it and I just hugged that rock for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
While you went gallivanting off toward ledges, taking all the photos.
I did. And I think I didn't allow myself to really, as much as I was focused and enjoying myself and not really fearful on the way out, I don't think I really allowed my periphery to like take over, my peripheral vision. I didn't look really too much to the left and right. I was really focused in on what I was doing, but not afraid of what was to my left or right.
I certainly did, because you couldn't avoid it. I couldn't avoid it.
The views are unbelievable. There's nothing that you can really compare to. You are so high up above the valley, and to be able to see the sun streaming in, to be able to see like the roadway and the tiny cars and tiny people down below, the river, it's just, you feel like you're looking at a miniature, like world below you. It's really, really quite stunning. And at this point, I would say there's like probably 25 to 30 people. And it's a pretty big area up there. It's larger than I thought it was going to be. It's almost equatable, like as far as it's pretty flat and it goes out pretty far. I think you could have, there were a few people that went probably a little further than they probably should have gone.
Oh, yeah, no, and you were like, absolutely not. No. Let me just say, I think I took maybe 3 photos when we were up there because I was
purely terrified.
I was so terrified because I was like, I am this high in the air. If I move the wrong way, I could just fall off a ledge here.
Right.
Now, when you're up that high up at the top, like, that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. There is plenty of flat space up there, but we did sit up there and we ate
all the snacks. We had a bunch of chipmunk friends
who wanted some snacks.
Crazy
that they're that high up in the air.
But they know their audience. They're like, oh, I'm going to come and get while the getting is
good.
You are
going to have some trail mix and I want it.
Right. And they were brave. They were like right up to like toes and like boots. They did not shy away.
Not at all.
They were like, kind of, oh, your hand's right there. I'm going to walk over your hand. You know, like, I'll walk right up to your hands. Like, I don't care. And not that we were actively feeding them by any means.
No.
But it was just like, they were like anticipating what was to come. Like, obviously someone's dropping something.
But the top of Angel's Landing is often a spot where, you know, people stand at the ledge and they like get people to take their picture for their social media and their dating websites and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, no, forget all of this. I'm not doing any of this today. Like, I am just going to focus on being alive.
And getting that t-shirt.
And I am not kidding with you when I tell you that I wanted that cute t-shirt so badly.
That t-shirt.
And I was like, no, I've got to finish this hike in order to get that shirt.
Right.
That is the thing that kept me going. We hang out for a little while.
I would say like a good 20 minutes to a half hour up there.
And then I was like, okay, it's time to go down.
Yeah.
So what was nice about going down the chains is that you can hold on to the chains and you can
sit and scoot.
Do a little sit and scoot. And I liked this because I felt like I could take up more space on rock and feel like I had a little more grasp of, you know, the land beneath me.
Right. Now, keep in mind, too, it's probably around like 9:30 or so on a return.
Right.
And at this point, no longer is it, oh, here's one or two people coming back. We are part of like a caravan of people heading back. And there are throngs of people coming up.
So we're making our way down. We're sitting and scooting on the chains. It is not a 1,000-foot drop-off on both sides the entire way. Occasionally, there will be something here. And then occasionally, there will be something there. And then it'll be on both sides. And then it'll just be on one side. It's this amalgamation of just, like, treacherous, scary terrain you have to trek. So we're on our way down, and we're sitting and scooting. And I lose a hold of the chain. And I slip and I slide about 8 feet down this rock face.
Mm-hmm.
You were ahead of me.
What else is new?
My life did not flash before my eyes, but this is what went through my mind. I slipped and I fell and I slid. Now, this was not like a little tiny fall. This is like I am on my back and I am sliding downward on like a 35-degree angle, I would say. This part of my mind just took over that was like, oh no, this is not how you die today. And then
it's not what the gypsy told me.
There was a tree right next to a tree with a root. And right. There were a few trees around. And I grabbed onto that tree. And then I made my way to a standing position. Now, had I slid about 10 more feet, yeah, I'd be looking at a cliff edge. And that could have been a fatality, to be frank.
Right.
And I stood up. And you turned around and you were looking at me horrified, like you were a ghost. All of the like color had run out of your body. And I said this, I said, I'm not going to emotionally process what just happened.
Right. Until we're back on the ground.
And you went, okay, great. But this is what this did to me for the rest of the trek down. Now, we are making our way through these throngs of people who are coming up.
Right.
Now, I am not kidding you when I say it's like, okay, you stay there. I'm going to put my leg around your shoulder, and I'm going to climb over you, and right. then you can climb under my leg as I get over it. Right.
Yeah, it's really like pretzel-y.
Super pretzel-y. As people are making their way up the chains, you're in front of me, and people are asking the two of us, they're like, oh, well, is it worth it? And Mike is going, oh my God, it's beautiful. It's spectacular. It's amazing. And I'm behind going, I think I could see the same thing from down there. And so many people turned around when they saw me do that. Because then I was just pissed off.
Right.
I mean, I do have to say the view from at the top of Angel's Landing is, I think, yeah, one of the most spectacular, beautiful, worth it views ever. You are technically speaking looking at the same thing when you're at Scout's Lookout. And even when you're in that embankment down a little further, the angle is not as high and it's not as grand, but you are technically seeing the same area of land.
Right. Is this your disclaimer?
That's my disclaimer.
Disclaimer for anyone who doesn't feel like they want to trek out. And I understand.
Right. And it is not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. No.
This is happening like the whole way down the chains. And then we get back to Scout's Lookout. And then I take a moment, an emotional moment, and I'm like, okay, that almost happened. That could have been really, really, really horrible and fatal, but we're okay, and we're going to keep going. We played a lot of games on the way down.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like, please mentally distract
please
me.
Please mentally distract me from what just happened.
Right, right.
And then we took a deep breath, and we just kept making our way down. So we want to be really honest about something, is that sometimes hikes are dangerous. Angel's Landing is considered a dangerous hike. Unfortunately, there have been a number of fatalities on Angel's Landing. It is an unfortunate reality. So always staying safe, always checking the weather. I make fun of Mike all the time for being obsessive with checking the weather, but it is for our own safety.
Mm-hmm.
They say, do not hike Angel's Landing if there is a lot of wind. Which is a smart move to make. And there was no wind that day we were there.
No, it was a beautiful, pristine, like blue sky kind of day. So I can understand why you wouldn't want to be up there. I mean, up to Scout's Lookout, sure.
That is a totally satisfying view that you get from Scout's Lookout.
Yep.
And so you can still experience the beauty and wonder of this trail mm-hmm. and what it has to offer mm-hmm. without doing the chains.
Yeah.
So this is our reminder to you to stay safe on the trails, be aware, know who's around you, and stay present. It's time for Jeopardy. What is your category today, Mike?
My category is titled Stairway to Heaven.
Ooh.
And it's inspired by our hike up Angel's Landing.
Okay.
In this category, I'm going to describe a ancient society or current society's view of what heaven was. And you'll need to name the society based off of the clue.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm ready.
All right. Tlaloc, the spirits of the dead from this ancient Mesoamerican culture that had steppe pyramids and jaguar gods, were blessed with eternal bliss and the company and hospitality of the rain god. I mean, you did have to die by drowning or lightning to get there, but I hear the amenities were exceptional.
Is this one of the Aztecs?
That's correct.
Great.
Great. So you got the gist.
I got it.
Great. Stairway to Heaven for 200. While Gan Eden sounds like Garden of Eden, it is anything but in this final destination for the deserving of this Abrahamic faith. Just pray you don't have to spend 12 months in Gehenna atoning for all your sins first.
What is Judaism?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
All right, Stairway to Heaven for 300. In Folkvanger, the goddess Freya presided and welcomed in the non-warrior dead of this ancient Germanic mythology.
I have no idea.
What is the Norse mythology?
Norse mythology.
Norse mythology.
Oh, okay. Great.
Stairway to Heaven for 400. Tir-na-n-og is also known as the Island of the Young, in which mortals were normally banned unless they underwent tremendous trials or were invited by fairies, like you and I, in this European country's ancient myths.
Is it like Celtic or Irish?
Yes, Irish. Ireland. Great.
Wonderful.
And Stairway to Heaven for 500.
Great.
Elysium was once a place where only mortals who were in favor of the gods could enter. That eventually changed, and all good mortals were allowed into this afterlife paradise of this culture's mythology.
What is ancient Greece?
That is correct.
Yes.
Well done. Only one tripping you up there. And I feel like...
I thought of that Shakespeare quote when Viola arrives in Illyria in Twelfth Night. They're like, where is your brother? They've been in a shipwreck. And mm-hmm. she goes, you're in Illyria, lady. And she goes, my brother, he is in Elysium, meaning he's died and moved on to the afterlife.
Yeah.
Great. Are you ready for my category?
I am.
My category today is called Angels in the Movies.
Oh.
And you have to identify the film with the word angel in it based on a quote from the film.
Great. You
just licked the mic because you're so excited.
I'm so excited.
Angels in the Movies for 100.
Great.
Once upon a time, there were three very different little girls who grew up to be three very different women with three things in common. They're brilliant, they're beautiful, and they work for me.
What is Charlie's Angels?
Correct. Great. Are you ready for 200?
I am ready. I'm so ready. If Charlie's Angels Full Throttle is the next clue, I'm even more ready.
Okay. This has nothing to do with my work. The Path of Illumination is a hidden trail through Rome itself that leads to the Church of the Illumination, the place where the Illuminati would meet in secret. If I can find the segno, the sign, that marks the beginning of that path, the four churches along it may be where he intends to murder your cardinals.
What is Angels and Demons?
Correct.
The better of the Dan Brown books.
It's an excellent Dan Brown book. I did not love the film, but yes.
No, the film they kind of like screwed the pooch on.
Ready, here we go. God, if there is a God, if you're a man or a woman, if you're listening, I'd really, really like a family. My dad says that will only happen if the Angels win the pennant. The baseball team, I mean. So maybe you can help them win a little. Amen. Or, oh, a woman too.
Is it Angels in the Outfield?
That is correct.
Yes.
That is a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt saying that. I just, a tear to my eye right now.
I know. Jago Love.
Okay, here we go. This one is a very, very brief quote, but I think you're going to get it.
Great.
But I have to go into a dialect to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an angel sent by God. Psych, this is not a movie. This was a television program.
Oh, is it Angels in a... Touched by an Angel?
Yes, it is. Yes, Roma Downey in her Irish dialect.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
I'm an angel... sent by God. I can't do it. Not as well as
angel
you.
Sent by God.
Sent by God.
Okay, here we go.
Great.
Finally. This is kind of a trick one.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here. Too bad AC ain't in charge no more. He's upstairs taking a bath. He'll call you when he's done. You know what I'm going to give you, snakes? I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly... Yella, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10.
So it's from one of the Home Alone films, and it is the films that were embedded in those films,
yes,
which
correct.
Aren't actually real films, which like a bunch of celebrities just realized this holiday season.
Right, right.
It's like only angels, like...
Ooh.
Shoot, I don't know. It's like
called Angels with Filthy Souls.
There we go.
And then in Home Alone 2, the sequel was called Angels with Even Filthier Souls.
Well, there you go. It's another round of Jeopardy. Not as cutthroat as some of our others.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in Zion National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Southern Paiute people.
On our next episode, we will journey up 5 more trails in Zion National Park.